In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. As I've been talking about this last 3 days, we are in Advent. We await the blessed coming and hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come at the end of time, who will come for a church that is filled with faith, working through love. Do you have faith today? If you have faith today, use it. Use your faith. Because I'm telling you, there are so many people that need help. So many people that need to be touched by the living God. And that happens through believing Jesus and giving our life to Jesus. I'm going to be reading from the 9th chapter of Luke. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Do you know that if you are a believer, Jesus has given you the power to cure diseases? Oh yes, you too, not only me, but you too. God has given us that power and authority, but unfortunately, we don't use it. We do not use that authority. We do not use that power. We let it go by. We say that was for the apostles. That's for the priest. Most priests have no idea that they have been given power and authority to cast out demons and to heal diseases. Most people do not know that. Most priests do not know that. Most ministers do not know that. I want you to pray today for Reverend May, who is very sick. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal Reverend May. Let him know that you love him and heal him again. You've healed him so many times. He needs a touch from God today, a touch from Jesus today. For God has given us power and authority to heal the sick and to cast out demons. I'm telling you, this is real. This is not something that's just for Father Tom and Father Ron and just a few people. This is for every believer. God has given us power and authority to heal the sick. How are you using your faith? Your faith is like a muscle. If you do not use it, you lose it. It's just that way. And as you use it, what happens is that you become more settled in the Word of God and knowing that God knows how to heal. I cannot heal people. I do not have the power to heal people, but I do have the power to declare healing over people. I cannot do it on my own. It's the blood of Jesus, the power of God. So you have been given that power and authority. Use it or lose it. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. While they were preaching the kingdom of God, they had the power to heal the sick. Jesus gave them that power. Jesus gave them that authority. I'll never forget the first healing service that I did. I'll never forget it. I received a word of knowledge that someone's ear was being healed. And this lady called me up. Oh, this is in the 80s. This lady called me up and said, "I had mastoid. And when you said the ears are being healed," she said, "the mastoid broke and I'm healed." I said, "That's wonderful." I had never heard of people being healed. But I knew that God had given me authority and power, not for myself, but for the people. For the people and for myself. Oh yes, God has given me that power and authority, but not only me, but everybody who believes in Jesus. He bore our wounds and carried our infirmities, Jesus did. The cross is not only the place of forgiveness and through the blood of Jesus, it's the place where we get healed. He bore our wounds and carried our infirmities, and by his stripes we were healed. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither stave, nor scrip, nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Why? Because they have to depend upon God. They have to depend upon Jesus. Don't take anything with you, because you need to depend totally upon Jesus. I wonder how many of us depend totally on Jesus. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to totally lean on Jesus. I want to be like the beloved disciple who leaned on his heart and he heard the heartbeat of Jesus. I want to be like that, so that I totally am in Jesus and I totally am convinced that this Jesus wants everything from me. And as I give him everything, he gives me everything in another way. I tell you, this is real. This is real. You can have as much or as little as you want. So the disciples were told not to take anything on their journey. Whatsoever house you enter in, abide there, and then depart. Don't go from house to house. Whoever will receive you when you go out, whoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Let me just tell you this. I was once asked to speak under a tent, and I spoke that summer under the tent, and I knew I would be called back. I spoke about the power of being broken and Jesus being the healer. So the next summer they called me back to go under the tent, and I knew what was going to happen. They were going to throw me out, because I wanted to speak the full gospel, that there's not only salvation, there's not only baptism of the Spirit, there's not only believing the Word, but there's the Eucharist. Well, I gave that message that night, and they cheered until I talked about eating the body of blood and drinking the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They threw me out of the tent by their words. They did not want to hear it. They said, a man of the flesh is speaking. You see, shake the dust off your feet. I told them the right thing. There was this young man who was there who said, I'm going to prove him wrong. And went home and opened the scriptures to all the places where the Eucharist was. And when it came dawn, he was a believer, a Catholic again. And he gave his life to Jesus. He sits in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and he is a young man that loves Jesus Christ. But he was going to prove me wrong. Try to prove me wrong. Open the scriptures and see what they say about the Eucharist. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, make present the death of the Lord until he comes in glory. You proclaim. Proclamation has to do with making things happen. Jesus said, be thou healed, and they were healed. The proclamation is letting the words do what they say under the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatsoever house ye enter, there abide, and thence depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed, the 12, and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They got the power and authority from Jesus, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is what should be happening in the church. We talk about the kingdom. You talk about the kingdom. But when the king comes to heal the sick, I tell you, people start believing that this is something real. That it's not only something I believe in my head, but that God has given power and authority to the church. To the church, not only to me. I'm part of the church. I believe that. And we need to capitalize on it. And people who are not healed by doctors, they need to have someone come and pray with them and believe. The only thing I can do is believe. Does it always happen? No, it doesn't always happen. So what am I going to do about it? I'm going to continue to believe. and I'm going to continue to pray for these people. That's all I can do. I cannot heal the sick, but he has given power and authority to the church and power and authority to me, and I want to use that power and authority. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by Jesus, and he was perplexed because it was said that John the Baptist had been risen and raised from the dead, and some of that Elijah had appeared, and to others that one of the old prophets had arisen from the dead. And Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things?" And he desired to see Jesus. I tell you, he wanted Jesus to do a couple of miracles like a trick show. He did not want to give his life to Jesus. Oh, what he did to John the Baptist was a coward. He promised the woman who danced, Salome, that he would give her half the kingdom. And the mother hated John the Baptist because she was married illegally and without the blessing of God. She was married to her brother's husband, her brother's brother. And I'm telling you that she said, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter." How sick. How sick. How sick. Who is this Jesus? He is the very Son of God. He is the one who speaks the word. He is the word made flesh. He will come in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. Advent is all about heaven, that we await the coming of the Lord, and that we will be with God in heaven for eternity. The grace of God does that. Do you have the grace of God in your life? I was with Eleanor on the phone the other day, and she called me to pray for somebody. And the only thing I could pray was, "Lord, let the grace of God fill that man. Let the grace of God fill that man. Let the grace of God come upon him. Let the grace of God do what only God can do." And you know what? Not only by my prayers, but especially by Eleanor's prayers, it all worked out. She'll tell you the story with the grace of God on Monday. This is a beautiful story, powerful story. How God knows how to do things. How God knows how to do things. God knows how to do everything. You say, "But it's not happened to me yet and I'm discouraged." Well, the worst thing that could be is that you're discouraged and that you're ashamed. No, no discouragement, no shame. God is looking to you to believe that somehow it's going to happen, that your healing is going to take place. By his stripes you were healed. By his stripes you were healed. The Bible does not say by his stripes you will be healed. The Bible says by his stripes you were healed. You were healed by his stripes. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. By his stripes you were healed. I'll continue to read. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all they had done. They're excited. They're excited. People were healed. Demons were delivered. They delivered people from demonic oppression. They're all excited. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. In other words, you know what? You did the work of God. You healed the sick. You've cast out demons. Now you need to be quiet. You need the Lord to come and fill you with his presence. So he took them to a deserted place. I want to tell you, that was my problem. I went from one person to another, not going and being quiet enough to a deserted place, and as a result I got burnt out. But thanks be to God, I'm feeling much better now. I know that God heals through people that believe in Jesus. I know that God heals through people who have given their life to Jesus. And so we continue. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. Why? They need a touch. Do you need a touch from Jesus? Jesus, touch that person. Touch her. Touch her now, Lord. They need a touch from you, Lord. Through the spoken word, they need a touch from Jesus. Touch them. Touch them all, Lord. Touch them with the grace of God. Let the grace of God just come upon them. And he received them and spoke unto them the kingdom of God, and he healed them. To anyone who had need of healing, I tell you, when you have a healing service, people come and they want to be healed. Why? Because they know when the door is shut how they need the touch of God, how they need to be healed. I tell you, we need healing, whether it be physical, spiritual, or psychological. We need healing. And God has given us the power and authority to heal. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto Jesus, send the multitude away, that they may go to towns and countries around about and lodge and get food, for we are in a deserted place. We are in a desert place. Send them away. They had been there hours, maybe days, listening to Jesus, being healed by Jesus. The disciples say, send them away. We don't want them to, we can't do anything about it. It's getting time for supper. Let them go into the towns. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Oh, I know. We need to have something to eat on a Sunday, the Eucharist and the Word of God. We need to preach the Word of God on a Sunday to give people something to eat so that they could take it home and live on it for the week. You give them something to eat, I tell you. Not only do I give food out, I also give the Word of God out. And that Word of God comes when I proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. He said unto them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. For there were 5,000 men, not counting the children, not counting the women. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. So now the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do something that is so totally impossible in the human, but he's going to do something because he has pity on the crowds. They have been listening to him for days, and he wants to give them something to eat. But there is not much food. There's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he blesses the fish. He blesses the bread. And he asks the disciples to go and pass it out. And it multiplies. It multiplies. It multiplies. Let them sit down by 50s in the company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and gave it to his disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were filled, and there was taken up fragments that remained 12 baskets. How can that be? How could 12 baskets of fragments be after we've only had 5 loaves and 2 fish? Jesus multiplied. Let me just tell you this. God always multiplies. He doesn't divide. If you are divided with the person, God doesn't divide. God multiplies. With relationships, he doesn't divide. He multiplies. I tell you, it's important for us to know that division is not of God. We get divided. Even Paul had to learn that. He got divided from John Mark, but at the end he forgave him. It's so important that we know that God is into multiplication and not into division. And it's time for us to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory, and he heals the sick, and he raises the dead, and he multiplies. What do? I give the Lord the little that I have. And I say, Lord, take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. Oh God, I give it all to you. So little do I have. I only have a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. But Lord, I'm going to speak your word today. And I know, God, you're going to touch people. Why? Because you've promised that you would. You promised that those who speak the word of God, it would not return void, that it would do exactly what was said that it would do. And so, I tell you, this is God at work, multiplying rather than dividing. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, and his disciples were with him. Isn't that interesting? He was alone praying, but his disciples were with him. He was totally focused on the Father. Totally focused on the Father. And he asked them, saying, "Who do people say that I am?" They answered and said, "Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, or one of the prophets that had been raised from the dead." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "You are the Messiah, the Christ of God." Oh yes, and it tells us in Matthew, he says, "Peter, Simon Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. For thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I tell you, the church will last until Jesus comes. It will last until Jesus comes. But let me also tell you, it will only be strong by the people's faith working through love. Oh yes, believing, multiplying, not being afraid. Not being afraid to witness to Jesus. Oh yes, God wants to do something in you, to you, and through you. Let's continue. And he sternly charged them and commanded them to tell nobody this thing, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, saying, "The Son must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be slain and be raised on the third day." Yes, that Jesus was going to be rejected. They rejected him. They wanted Barabbas, not Jesus. And what happened? What happened? I tell you, they crucified him. It was out of jealousy. You see, he had power and authority. The only thing they had was religion. Religion is faith working through love. That's real religion. Faith working through love. It's not only saying doctrinal things. All the doctrinal things are true when we say the Apostles' Creed. It's all true. But there has to be more than religion. Real religion is faith working through love. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ working through love. I need to tell you that we need to hear from people, because I'm going to go off some stations if we don't get enough money. And we're still paying October's bills. And you know, I do not say you've got to send me this or that. I say if this broadcast is a blessing to you, please help us. We are in need of your help now. It is very important so that we would be able to proclaim the gospel at many places. And if the Lord doesn't supply the money, we'll have to go off some stations. And that's just real, because I will not be in debt. I believe God multiplies, and I believe he has set people that are listening to me, that they will send me what they can in the name of Jesus. I believe that, because he knows that it all goes for radio time and for tithes. I do not take 1 cent. I am paid by the Archdiocese of Boston. It is so important that you know that this broadcast is done out of love for Christ Jesus and out of love for people. Today, I want you to remember, you have been given power and authority. Use it. If you do not use it, you lose it. That God is a multiplier. He multiplied the bread and the fishes. Give the little you have to Jesus Christ, and He will multiply it. The little you have, give it over to Jesus Christ, and He will multiply it. People say, well, I'm not very smart. You don't have to be smart to love Jesus. But I'm timid. Give me a break. Don't seem to be timid watching the football game when I hear you hollering. If you're timid with Jesus, never mind, not even going to say that. Just get over it. Get over being timid. And I need people to come to my rescue so that we can pay off our October bills. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or you might go to the internet and you go www.inseason.net. inseason.net, and then go to PayPal and leave a donation. I'm very grateful for what people have done. I could not do this work without people. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want you to remember these words. God multiplies. He doesn't divide. It's time to make up with your relatives. It's time in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.